our great privilege and our great challenge in any fantasy genre is evil typically is personified. And so you are saying something very significant every time you personify, well, good or evil. Some people just want pure escapism. They're trying to get away from facing evil in their own life, and they don't like finding it in the story. And then there's other people that are commenting saying, like, I'm crying. This is extremely meaningful, or I don't know if I love you or hate you for this, but it's connecting. And ultimately, I'd rather have less reach, but deeper. That's the story I prefer to write.
This is the Crit RPG Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything lit RPG, progression fantasy, and Royal Road. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Crit RPG Podcast, the only podcast so on fire we had to call the fire department. With me today is ex-firefighter JJ Hutto. Hi.
Hey.
Do you want me to call you JJ or just Hutto or by your real name?
Yeah, Josh, JJ, Hutto, all of it's good. It's fine with me. And I'm actually glad you brought up firefighting. Now that I finally have a platform to tell everybody, I have one thing I need to tell everybody about firefighting, which is the hardest part. You're in a burning building. It's scary. There's smoke everywhere. You can't see. Sure. But you're carrying this hose that's charged with water. And the hose itself weighs hundreds of pounds. So you're dragging a hundreds of pounds hose because it's got 8 pounds every gallon, and the hose has hundreds of gallons. And then when you release it, the pressure is so immense that the kickback on your arms could be 50 to 75 pounds. So you're already in this terrible environment, right? But to put out the fire, you have to release your hose, which is putting out 210 gallons per minute, which is cool. But after about 5 minutes, you're dead. Just trying to hold that hose, getting kicked back, trying to get it on the water. So everyone needs to know that firefighting is actually water fighting. People don't know that. But that's the hardest thing I have to fight every time I had to go into a fire was the dang hose and all the water we were putting out.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't water down anyone's opinion.
Yeah, hey, keep it hot.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep it lit.
For sure, amen.
Thank you, everyone. This was the Crit RPG Podcast, and I'll see you next time.
The only podcast about firefighting. Wait, that's not true.
No, wait. The Lit RPG Podcast. No, wait. Damn, this makes sense. We've used the pun already before. I really love your stuff, so I always joke that you put the lit in Lit RPG, and I do think it's true. We both share this penchant for writing stuff that Royal Road doesn't want to read.
For sure, right, to use the lit pun for both of our stories. You have Torchbearer, which lit, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, Firefighting Lit RPG, lit.
The subtitle should be a Torchlit RPG.
Torchlit, there you go. You could do like those squiggly brackets, a torch, and then lit RPG. Hey, man, you do you. I think you have a lot of options.
This podcast is over into right. So as always, like talking to you gives me good inspiration. But I want to ask about your book. As a great friend of mine once said, this is my podcast and I'm asking the questions.
I did that one.
That was a really good one. So what made you write something so contentious, yet so brave?
I think, like many of us, since I was little, I mean, I was out on the playground with a big stick pretending it was a spear and I was shooting lightning. You know, we've always been in our own worlds, and I had a pretty tough childhood. And so we moved a ton, and home wasn't the safest, but libraries, those are my jam, and they were free and we didn't have a lot of money. So I spent a lot of time going to different worlds, experiencing that fight again and again of good versus evil. And some part of me was encouraged and spurred on to continue to try, to continue to hope. And so that kind of process for processing life has always stuck with me. It's like some part of me always wants to process life through story. And so even as I've slowly become more and more writing, and I've actually finished Son of Flame, which was huge for me. It's the first novel I've finished. I always was looking to kind of find those internal answers. And so it's as much a journey for me as it is for the reader to kind of place a character I care about in situations that feel very meaningful to me, facing challenges that feel very real. And then C, is there a resolution? Is there a resolution that feels real? Is there a resolution that feels meaningful? Is there a resolution that gives even me hope? So that really pulls me in that direction. I still love all the cool power-up stuff and the explosions. I'm about that life. I grew up watching Dragon Ball Z just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But ultimately, yeah, that's what kind of brings me back to the page every time is I need this as much as anybody else, if not more. So,
yeah, I can see that. And then we have already talked about it at the beginning, right? So you used to be a firefighter. So tell me about how that influenced your writing and how the Son of Flame came to be.
Yeah, I just started writing this book probably 8 months ago, and I was in the midst of being a firefighter. So at the station, going on calls, the bell rings whenever it rings. Sometimes we're cooking dinner. Sometimes, you know, it could catch you anywhere. The worst time is when you just sit down to poop. That is not good when you're halfway through that process. And then you gotta wipe up and get going, you know? But I had been reading on Royal Road. I'm pretty new to Royal Road, probably only 9 months or 10 months, but I'm not new to Lit RPG or Isekai or any of that. So it started to occur to me, like, it would be fascinating. I work with some just absolute crazy people who are extremely passionate about firefighting, extremely passionate about, you know, first respondership, competency. And I was never like the go get it, like end all be all firefighter. I really enjoyed the job and I was definitely competent, but there were just these guys and girls actually that just could crush. I mean, you could put them in any situation and they would competently find the solution, whether it's a person like dying in front of them or, hey, the way we were going to get out of this room was no longer an option. What do we do? Oh, you just break through the wall and move through the studs with all your gear. I'm like, okay, that was awesome. And so it started to feel like I love and have always loved fiction that has a high level of believable competency. And so when I was reading a lot of Lit RPG and Isekai, it kind of always felt to me like it was, you know, Craig from IT. Suddenly he's in a war zone and everyone's dying around him. And somehow he mentally just handles it. And actually he thrives. I've actually been waiting to be in a war zone my whole life, Craig from IT says. And it always felt a little bit to me like, okay, I'll suspend disbelief and enjoy the story for sure. But I became really tugged and interested of what would it look like if I pulled one of these hard men and women or built a character around the absolute heroics, but also the flaws that I experience in my workplace and put them into another world. And so that was kind of the start of Son of Flame. Yeah. Firefighter getting a set guide.
Pretty cool. I mean, you wouldn't believe the kind of shit you see as an IT consultant. So
yeah, maybe, that's a very factor that is. Yeah.
Maybe IT people, maybe they aren't born for Warzone, but after 2 years in IT companies or in one IT company, they're like, I could kill some people. I could do that. Yeah.
I've been forged in the fires of adversity. I'm ready.
You think war is your ally?
I was made by it, molded by it.
Man. No, I think that's also something that's fascinating many people about the entire idea of spec ops soldiers, isekai, and military sci-fi kind of stuff. And I've never heard of a firefighter isekai. I think the premise itself is so fascinating. And what you do with it, and that is not just, oh, by the way, I used to be a firefighter and now I'm just an axe fighter. But actually
posted my very first Reddit like self-promotion post, which I tried like month one. I didn't know anything. I said, I bet you've never heard of a firefighter or set guy, because I was feeling pretty confident about that. And immediately someone's like, no, there's a whole series on KU. I'm like, what? Now, luckily, it's a harem series. So about as different of a direction as you could take in the genre as possible. So that's good. That's good. But I was like, dang it, I'm not Quersia here.
Ah, damn it. Well, maybe it was one of your only colleagues. Maybe it was one of the colleagues that always...
That guy was making fun of me the loudest, was secretly tending the smash hit.
Maybe he was like, are you writing goblin romance? And he was like, please write goblin romance. I really want to read that.
It's the one I'm longing to read. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just not good enough myself. I can't get the goblins to go.
The emotional hook isn't right yet.
Yeah. Man. Goblin firefighter Isekai coming out soon.
Oh, shoot. Actually, I could just partner with old folks. I could partner with Sean. We can make something happen. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. I mean, we are doing the community story, so we'll see how that goes.
Just a hard turn in the plot. I don't care what you guys say. This needs goblins and firefighting.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Maybe it's eating some hearts. We'll definitely see. Yeah, like I said, I love the premise. I love the entire idea of taking something that's actually real and then trying to get a living character into, well, an Isekai novel. But you've encountered some obstacles with that. Do you want to talk about that maybe a little bit?
Yeah, I think I ended up really, as I've been spaced in the fire department, like, 7-ish years being a first responder on ambulances or on the fire truck, and you know, you face some dark stuff, and ultimately, like, I become, whether I acknowledge it or not, I develop some beliefs about evil, you know, or whatever you want to call it. And our great privilege and our great challenge in any fantasy genre is evil typically is personified. And so you are saying something very significant every time you personify, well, good or evil. And as I have a character who faces meaningful evil himself, he's not just like a blank slate. Love Keanu Reeves. He's not like a Keanu Reeves where it's just like, I'm going to do the right thing and discover the power I have within myself. Like, that's true. I just want a little bit more nuance to that. But that, there's that tension road. Some people just want pure escapism. They're trying to get away from facing evil in their own life, and they don't like finding it in the story. And then there's other people that are commenting saying, like, I'm crying. This is extremely meaningful, or I don't know if I love you or hate you for this. Like, but it's connecting. And ultimately, I'd rather have less reach, but deeper. I think that's the story I prefer to write. That's been a little bit hard. And then obviously I'm not a master writer, so I'm a little bit ambitious even. I could probably write something that was a little bit less heavy and then hugely, like, maybe significant, but I just can't help it. Because it's such a personal journey for me, it's like, no, I'm here to find the answer to this, these own questions for me. And so it kind of has to be a certain way in some ways. But I want it to be clear and I want it to flow well for the reader. So most of my criticism has been lovely. I've made some great changes off that and moved forward. There hasn't been many like trolls. The story sucks. So it's been good. Any person creating in the space, any person writing faces those same obstacles of worried what people think or worried about their own ability, but really, by and large, this journey has been extremely positive for me. And my readers have been, shout out to the boys in the comments, dude. And by boys, I mean that in the general sense, B-O-I-S.
Very good. I like that.
Hey, it's a spectrum. You know, I'm just throwing it out there for everybody. That's just my privilege as a writer is to use language, you know?
Yeah. Real language.
Yeah.
This topic of not succumbing under the weight of critical comments is super important, right? And I still believe that you will find Royal Road is not the be-all end-all. It is a very, very certain subset of people who want to read a very certain subset of literature. And I think maybe on KU will have like more of an impact because maybe all the stories that are kind of off-meta on Royal Road tend to do either completely horrendous on KU or really well on KU and then bring more readers into the progression fantasy genre.
Yeah, a little wider reach. Also, there's the whole meta, like, I didn't have any author friends. I didn't have, you know, anything like that when I started. I was pretty new to the community as a whole. So there's a whole good way to do it. I mean, a better way to write and release and to be seen. And I did the opposite of all that. I mean, I had a terrible cover. My blurb, Maddox, you never read it because it was way early. For the first 2 months, it was a firefighter-led RPG. Read more if you want to find out about it or something like that. Two lines. So I was shooting myself with 1 foot, both feet, you know, and then I just slowed down to releasing once per week as firefighting got really busy.
You were saying you're a marketing person now?
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to learn the market. I was doing market research. So now I know there's all sorts of things that you could do to give your story a better chance, but it's not that I haven't grown, you know, I'm just not one of the heavy hitters or one of the fast growth people, but do I check it every day? Yes. My number is at 945 right now, which is good. So I'm definitely getting readers. If I did it all again, which when I write my next one, I will do it all again. I have much better playbook for how to get it in front of the best amount of people. But until then, I thought a lot. We've talked a lot about, like, should I re-release? Just put all the chapters out the right way and give it a chance to get on Rising Stars as opposed to shooting myself in the foot with the things I didn't know. And ultimately, I thought, well, I think I'm going to just keep going this slow growth route because it's probably better for me as a writer and better for the story. I would love, there's nothing wrong with success. I want it, you know, but success for me is as much getting better at my craft as it is catching that publishing deal, which if there's any publishers listening, I'd love to catch one, by the way. I don't hear that I don't want one, but
you can always listen to the pub crawl.
Oh yeah. No, I've listened to every one of those for sure.
I will have some new episodes out this month. Hopefully I got some pretty exciting guests. One of them, Thomas Wind, Moonquill, and then a special one that I haven't announced yet. You might even know, because also JTB is the public-facing side of Crit RPG, so this is now a reveal.
Oh, yeah. I do a little moonlighting. Yeah. When I left the fire department, the business I started was digital marketing, and I specialize not in books. I specialize for small businesses, but there is some crossover, so I'm doing a little bit of partnership just to help. This podcast is extraordinary, guys. I mean, it rocks. Boom. Patreon plug. This is the perfect time.
Oh yeah. If you want to Patreon, Patreon.
Nailed it. Dude, you probably got like 20 patrons just now. That's awesome.
I mean, what am I supposed to say? Oh, there's bonus material on Patreon, at least right now, about 20 hours of podcast. I think it's about 20 hours of podcast and bonus material. Like, am I supposed to say something like that? Am I supposed to mention the ad-free episodes? What?
Well, if it was me, I would also mention, if you're interested in this space, if you enjoy the content that these writers are putting out, not only should you absolutely be listening to this podcast, but you should, the best and the juiciest, the most personal stuff is hidden behind that door.
Yeah. So. Okay. That's actually kind of true. I always keep it very approachable for the main podcast and then the personal stuff and let's just shoot the shit and kind of talk. That's all behind the Patreon. Because, well, I think it's more specialized, but I also think it's super interesting. So if you want to listen to JTB unpack it all, there you go.
Oh, I'll tell a juicy firefighter story or two just for the Patreon.
Very juicy.
Juicy.
If you are a friend of the Kazoo ad, you have to be very, very strong now. I regret to inform you that Sherlune went and bought the tier that removes the Kazoo ad from all podcasts. And now it's just gone. So you got Sherlune to thank for that. On the other hand, if you want to add the Kazoo ad again, there's a tier for that too. Thanks so much for listening, and let's get on with the show. Yeah, and I mean, there's always also some lesser known authors, that Zogarth guy, for example.
Yeah, I mean,
he said some shit.
It's important to let the small guys onto this podcast. Absolutely. You know, give them a voice. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Also, Crow Stiletto. No, wait. I almost had it. Ravensecker. Yeah, yeah. Ravensecker.
Crow Stiletto.
Crow Stiletto, yeah. Now, shout out to you too. And also, every single person I've had on this podcast has been great. And the bonus material has been really freaking amazing. But that's the end of that. So, thanks, Josh. Thanks for the plug.
Dude, it, I mean, if I wouldn't be on here if I hadn't listened to every episode so far. So I am a fan.
Awesome. Are you going to listen to this one?
Oh, yeah. Isn't there a thing where, like, you hate the sound of your own voice? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. You get over it after a while, but yeah.
Well, we'll see. I guess I'll cringe.
Yeah. The cringe will be hard. Oh, well. But you were talking about Son of Flame and doing things better than before. I think it's a good segue to actually ask you, what's one thing that you would improve in your writing when you could go back and do it all over again? Switching up today.
Yeah, I think when I look back, I haven't done a rewrite, but there are a couple chapters, especially my first chapter it was the first I was writing without even knowing if I was going to post on Royal Road, like a lot of mm-hmm. people start. And so I wrote a first chapter to just move you through. And I got one particular dear reader that quit after like four chapters, and their criticism got progressively longer and longer until their criticism on my fourth chapter was longer than the chapter itself. I mean, this person was putting in the time, there's GIFs, there's color coding, and it was like, it hit, you know, it was hard to read, but I realized a lot of the stuff that they were looking for was coming. I just hadn't gotten there yet. Mm-hmm. And then they had real complaints of like actual style and structure that, you know, I had to learn. So going back, I spent a lot of time on my first chapter again, and it became just so much better, even though it was behind that goodness was behind that pain. Now it's like, I'm extremely proud of my first chapter. No one doesn't read through to the second chapter. It's good. And it's everything about showing you, I'm making you narrative promises about, is my character competent? What kind of competency does he demonstrate? And how will that show up later in this magical world? Like, he knows about oxygen consumption. He knows about what happens during flame ignition. He knows about all that stuff. And it turns out in fantasy world, some of those principles are still, it's not just completely gone. And so without spoilers, like, he definitely solves problems with his competency, not just going Super Saiyan, although there are some Super Saiyan moments. It's just a good mix, and that's the promise I want to make. And I actually changed to make that promise more significantly. So yeah, the first chapter really matters. And I didn't put that significance on the first chapter the first time. It's like, this is the promise you're making to the reader. One, don't make the wrong promises. Don't make promises for a story you're not writing. And then two, make sure you are pointing them in the direction of your narrative. So yeah, that's my big go back and change. I think I did it, but especially going forward from now on, any next thing I write, I'm not going to obsess over the first chapter, but that's the lens I want to have is this is what's significant. This is what I'm doing right now.
Pretty cool. So would you, for example, do it again or like edit it before you publish?
You know, maybe not the first chapter. I don't know. There is my book really gets to be my book after at like chapter 16. As I'm trying to explore how realistic do I want to make this, if Isek, I feel, you know, my character, like I spend some narrative time on him starting a campfire and maybe cleaning his first animal for food. And that's in there now. Will it stay in there? Like, does he do that for the rest of the story? No. So that's where if I go back and like, you know, if my story really starts to be itself at chapter 16 and 17, and then is pretty consistently building off that, I'm looking for that for those first 10 or 15 chapters, I'm trying to find that. So chapter one, pretty clean, pretty good. And then I'm looking for how is he going to exist? How is this world going to be around him until 16. So that's, if I was going to go back and if I do pick up my publisher stuff, that's probably where I'm going to take a closer look is those chapters. But for now, they do what they're supposed to do as far as moves, establish the character in the space. But yeah, looking back, that might be the most I have to sharpen for this book for sure.
Awesome. How long are your chapters in general?
I start out between 1500 and 2000, and then right around chapter 20, I get pretty regular of 2000 to 2500.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I stay in that. you know.
So book one is already done, you said. How big is it?
135-ish.
That's pretty good.
Mm. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Pretty good sweet spot. I mean, if you're not convinced that you should be reading the story by now, well, yeah, give it some time. It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, I think my biggest plug, if I could give it a plug, would be I had so much fun writing it. I mean, it's just been a fantastic experience. And if you're even enjoying it 20% as reading it as I have writing it, I think you'll have a really good time. So it's been immensely valuable for me.
That's awesome. That's a very good plug. Not the most elegant segue, but anyway, what is the best advice you've ever gotten as a writer? And why is it not from me?
No, you've given me some good stuff reading through some of my prose, especially. Yeah, I think the best advice I have gotten is paraphrase. There's a couple of different groups that all ended up paraphrasing kind of the central idea, which is write like what you're writing matters to somebody. Mm-hmm. And so I think as we write, we can pretend like, oh, I'm just doing this silly story, or I'm writing comedy or whatever. We can pretend it's not an emotional experience and that it won't be an emotional experience for our reader. One, then you've already, the whole point of art is to evoke some emotion. And so when you're writing, to actually have that in mind right off the rip, it's not just amusement. I've read a good popcorn lit RPG like everybody else and just munching on the kernels, and that's fine. But generally, I think this is going to be the most sustainable and enjoyable for everybody if we write like what I'm writing matters to someone, even if it's just me, you know. But that has really helped me a lot. There's, of course, the only way to get better to write is to write. But that's how I've been able to write more and keep coming back to writing, is this matters. This matters to me. This matters to someone. So that has been the best. That's been the most helpful to keep me coming back, hearing that from somebody.
Is there a certain switch in your head that you can turn on and turn off? Do you have a certain guiding thought towards that?
Yeah, I think when I'm disconnected, you know, that's the question that's coming up for all of us, maybe, is, does this even matter? Like, do people even care? You know, is this going to work? Is this going to be successful? And the switch is kind of reorienting back to, what is my definition of success and what matters to me? Because, you know, the negative commenter, you know, the negative reviewer, they're not going to be with me at 6 a.m. when I'm waking up to write. So I need the person who is going to be with me to know why this matters. And that's me. So that's, I don't always successfully flick on that light switch, but when I get going, that's really where I'm orienting around.
That's pretty good. And like you said, like, what matters to you is improvement and that you love your story yourself. I think it's very healthy. Pretty good.
Oh yeah, I have those dark moments like everybody else too. I mean, that's my target I'm trying to hit each day and each time I approach my project. But for sure, I mean, it's a safe struggle for all of us, and hopefully as we become better storytellers and as we find what matters, it's, you know, rising tide rises all ships. I would love to see the whole genre do really well. I love the tropes that we have. I think they really can be really important and significant for our culture. I mean, I think it matters. I think art matters. I think fantasy and sci-fi has always really, really mattered. So yeah, I'm passionate about it as a reader and as a writer. I sound a little more ambitious than a web serial.
It's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking not ambition, but passion, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's perfectly okay. None of the people I've had here don't have passion. Yeah, and I think you're just very honest in expressing it. Even the big names.
Logan was so laissez-faire and like, yeah, I just gave my main character a bow. That's it. But you know, that wouldn't have been enough to get him 2K words in. There was so much passion behind that pursuit.
Yeah, he kind of glossed over the fact that he started writing this because he really wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And he glossed over the fact that he had written three books before he even started publishing it.
Right, right.
Yeah, Zorgoth is an amazing person, and he has so many different layers. And yeah. I think he's a person very worthy of becoming friends with, because the more you get to know him, the more layers. He's such a smart dude.
He was a delight to listen to, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And funny, too. Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's fun.
That's really, really cool. Really cool. Also, know you.
Oh, know me? Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
You mentioned that you spent your childhood in libraries. Tell me about your favorite book and why is it awesome?
Favorite book of all time is always a hard question, but I have done the work to really put my flag in the ground somewhere for myself. And that would be a book called Dawn of Wonder by Jonathan Renshaw.
I've heard of that.
It is self-published. So keep that in mind. It was self-published and it has I can't remember the last time I checked, 16 or 17,000 reviews on Amazon. That might be grossly wrong, but it has a lot and it hits so hard. But my favorite part about it, besides, and this may be a little bit contentious, but I think the prose is just under Patrick Rothfuss in quality. Ooh. So his prose is amazing, but it has the best character development of any fantasy, actually almost any novel I've ever read. And I'm very passionate about character development. I'm passionate about 3D characters. That might even be a little bit of my MC can sometimes kind of ride along events for a couple chapters because all of my characters matter. Like my side characters, the plot's going forward. MC is most of the time at the center of that. But I certainly didn't write a story where unless he's crafting the item and building the city and leading this faction and being the general in the war, nothing's happening. I get pretty frustrated with that. I love Dawn of Wonder.
Gives me two questions. One is, can you spoil what Dawn of Wonder is about without giving too many spoilers and giving it maybe a little bit of more details of stuff that you loved besides the language? And also for your own story, right? We've talked a lot about why it's so off meta for Royal Road, but what is something that makes it on meta? Like what's in there that makes people go like, oh yeah, cool, I want more of that because I'm a Royal Road reader.
Okay, yes. Dawn of Wonder first. It's the classic clever boy hero and he's in the fantasy world and he gets swept up in big events. So in that way, it's a very familiar story, but in the way that it deals with right off the rip from the beginning, you can see that he has some serious trauma at home. It's not like cookie cutter parents and it's not the cookie cutter Disney. Well, his dad died a long time ago and that's what motivates him to keep going. His dad is real, alive, and a very difficult character, but the book deals with that difficulty very honestly. So, there's magic, but it's so soft. And it's so delightful in how it slowly reveals itself throughout the narrative until when it finally really completely blooms, you're at the end of the story, off your rocker. This book made me cry, tears into the page. It made me laugh in delight. And I think everybody pretty much has that experience, which is why, even though it's been self-published, it's done pretty well. So that's my plug for an already very successful book. I think really my actually biggest criticisms right at the beginning were that I was pretty loyal to the tropes. So actually there's nothing crazy different besides it's a firefighter main character in my first 15, 20 chapters. And really, I think what's off meta is my purpose in approaching the genre. I want character development. I want a significant character journey.
You know what time it is? That's right, it's a new ad, and this time I have two amazing stories for you to check out. First one is my friend Saving Throw, who writes a story called So When Am I a Hero? It's a system apocalypse that is
quite frankly amazing. I don't like System Apocalypse usually, and I devoured that one, so go and check it out. There's a link below the podcast. The second one is from another friend of mine, because I have two friends, called The Infinity Dungeon by Reject Humanity. Premise is actually pretty cool. Guy goes hiking on the Appalachian trails and stumbles into the only and first dungeon in the world, and he's the only person on Earth with a system, at least for a while. All right, go check him out. I appreciate it a lot, and I'll see you next time.
And that's maybe what's a little bit off meta is numbers are going up. I have a system. I've got levels. You get to see some of that. I have it a little bit more front and center in the beginning of the story, and it kind of fades a little bit to the background, but they're still running. I'm still doing the math, you know? And there's, I have some great classic starts that I did completely on purpose. You know, they're fun. So there's no reason to break them. Like my character's offered four classes and he's looking through them and trying to decide. And then this fifth class mysteriously shows up right before he runs out of time. Boom, baby. You know, that's gold right there. That's a classic. And so he picks that fifth mysterious class that has terrible descriptors, and he chooses the class Son of Flame. And then you get to find out, what does that mean and how does that play out? He's still trying to find out, what does that mean? How does it play out?
Plot twist. He becomes a troll on the internet. Yeah.
A goblin, dude. Son of Flame is a goblin. Yep.
Absolutely. And he eats hearts. No, wait.
That's a different story.
Okay. I mean, you've heard it here then, right? If you like your standard tropes, if you like mysterious classes and hard decisions and class ex machina kind of goodies. I mean, everyone's like, oh, it's such a deus ex machina, but they all love it. They all love it when something really cool happens. I mean, I do.
Oh, yeah. There's an art. You know, we want it. We want it. You can't do it all the time. You can't do it for every single problem. But that moment when it does happen is awesome.
Very, very true. Okay. Well. Then we're already approaching shout-outs.
Oh, yeah. I prepared for this.
Okay.
I prepared. Okay. I thought to myself, Josh, don't just shout out the heavy hitters, the ones everyone loves that if you haven't already read.
Merchant Crab,
you have to. Merchant Crab is exactly on my list there. I was like, don't shout out Merchant Crab. Everyone already knows. Everyone already loves it. So instead, I think I have two on Rising Stars right now. So this is... A rocket, but it's still pretty early, is Magicraft Master. If you've ever seen that Fox show, Archer, it's like if Archer gets a set guide, it feels a little bit like that to me. It's a fun start for me. I don't know if that's what the author wants it plugged as, but I enjoyed the start.
That's the danger zone, Lana.
Yeah, so there's that. And that one's probably going to do fine. But then another one, this one is a hidden gem because I found him reading my story and I went to read his. I made every mistake. He made every mistake twice as far as marketing. He doesn't do any shout outs. He has a cover that is not very marketable, but it's called Glass Mage on Royal Road. He's probably like three or four books in, and it is a half crafting isekai, half, you know. It's a fascinating premise and character. The main character, he's not the most skillful in magic, but he's extremely skillful glassblower. And the author's a glassblower. So if you like that like meditative prose description of craftsmanship, this is a great story. And then if you like really cool fights, it turns out his like one skill is like moving heat from one place to another. So either taking all the heat surrounding and putting it into something or taking all the heat out of something. And so he's always doing really cool stuff. Yes, it's great for glass blowing. And then it's great if you're fighting monsters. There's one particular scene in my head where like he stabs his little like glass blowing, you know, spear thing that he just had to grab to fight monsters at the shop into an animal. And then he pulls all the heat out of their chest and it just becomes like a collapsing ice frozen thing. Cool. It's cool. So, and it's under 1,000. It's good. So that's my plug for an actual good story that no one knows about.
Okay, yeah, man. Glass Mage. Ooh, pretty darn good. Cool. This is usually the point where I shout out something too, and I kind of want to mention Goddess Transformation. Really good story. I stumbled on it for a shout out trade.
And then I started reading, I was like, oh, this is very much like my story. It's completely not. Like, the some of the themes are the same, and the general premise of a semi-immobile MC is still there. But I just really enjoyed reading it, because it's definitely top 10% Royal Road stories as far as pacing and prose goes. It doesn't have any of the usual issues of run-on sentences or monologuing dialogue where one character answers their own question and then says the same thing five times. It doesn't have that. The characters start a little bit, just a tiny little bit flat, and then suddenly they grow. And because of the story, she can look into every mirror on the planet, and it's all over the place. And it's so interesting to see how she connects all these strands, or the author connects all these strands. And yeah, I can shout that one out. That's really cool.
Nice. Yeah. No, I've seen that one. That's a good plug.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like you said, smaller stories that no one knows. Reborn as a Demonic Tree.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important to keep close to our roots.
Yes. Yes. It has 15 followers.
Hopefully now 16.
Yeah. I think it's close to 16. Yeah. 1,000. But I got to give it some space to grow. I think it's a pretty good story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's close to blooming for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's important to branch out with these things.
Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's so freaking true.
Yeah.
The seed of the story was there the first couple of chapters, but what's grown out of it?
Got to root around in the lower segments.
Yeah. But then it really becomes something really strong and like an oak.
Has like an oak, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Before all these puns sap our strength, this has been the Crit RPG Podcast.
Hey, man, signing off.
Yeah, almost. As always, big shout out to the whole Crit RPG gang. Jay Hutto, or JJ, or Josh is a part of Crit RPG because the cat dragged him in. And again, he's the guy who writes all the Crit RPG stuff on Reddit. So if something is super spicy and you're like, wow, Max would never say that, that's Josh.
I would say it.
Yep. Throwing you under the Isekai bus again.
I love it. Send me.
I'm going to keep throwing you under the bus until you get Isekai. You know this, right?
Yeah, you're trying to help me out, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's true. All right. No. Thank you so much for being here. And if you're listening to the Patreon version, this show keeps going. But otherwise, thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you next time.
Great being here.